Ezras Hashem, Beli Neder. Let's finish Shas together. Today's learning is dedicated to the Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David C. Ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Chaf Hei. We left off two lines. We left off at the Mishnah on Chaf Hei Amid Aleph, Shluchei Mitzvah Petuvin Sukkah. It's hard for me to remember which shir I left off at where. Good morning, Avi, Reb Zalman, Stephen, Dovzi, and Chanach Henach. Here we go. I'm just warning you, today's shir is packed. Famous sugis and shas. Here we go. Shluchei mitzvah petur min asukkah. If you are on your way to do a mitzvah, you are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah right away. Rashi says, holchei b'derech mitzvah, you're on your way to do a mitzvah kigon, Lilmo Torah, Lahak Bupnei Rabbo, Lifto Shvuyim. Very funny, Rashi. Rashi gives you three examples of being on your way to do a mitzvah. You're on your way to go to listen to a shir. You're going to visit your Rebbe. Or you're on your way to redeem captives. This is the sugya of Osek B'mitzvah Pater Mena Mitzvah. If you're involved in one mitzvah, you don't have to stop that mitzvah to do another mitzvah. According to some, you're not allowed to stop that mitzvah to go do another mitzvah. So if you're on your way to go visit your Rebbe or redeem captives or learn Torah, you are exempt from sukkah. You don't have to sit in a sukkah. There is a fundamental dispute here between Tosus and the Ran about what's the din if it's possible to do both. So the Tosus says, if it's efshel lakayim shneim, if it's possible for you to do both mitzvahs at the same time, then you're not exempt. Katos says, what do you mean? You're wearing tzitzis all day, so you're exempt from every other mitzvah. Osek mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. Katos says, no. If it's efshel lakayim shneim, you're not exempt. The Ran disagrees. The Ran says, even if it's possible to do both, you are still exempt if you're in the middle of doing one mitzvah. You're still not allowed to go stop and do another mitzvah. You're exempt from another mitzvah. But it's only if you're actually involved in it. So if you're wearing tzitzis, you're not actually doing anything, so you're not exempt from any other mitzvah. But if you actually are doing something, then you are exempt, even if you could have done both of them. You're still exempt. Fascinating, machlokas Tosfos the Ran. Sounds like Tosfos holds that the second mitzvah is like pushed away. It's dechuya, but the Ran says it literally doesn't exist. The second mitzvah, if you're doing one mitzvah, the whole rest of the Torah doesn't exist at all. So the question is, why, if you are on your way to do a mitzvah, are you exempt from another mitzvah? You're not actually doing anything, you're just on your way. So if you're on your way to visit your Rebbe, or you're on your way to go redeem captives, so being on the way is actually part of the mitzvah itself. You're going to redeem the captives, you're in the middle of a mitzvah, you're on your way to visit your Rebbe, you're in the middle of the mitzvah, but you're on your way to learn Torah, so you're not actually learning, so why in the world are you exempt? So Rav Soloveitchik said a beautiful chiddush here. He says, you see from this Rashi that when it comes to the mitzvah of learning Torah, it's not just the knowledge that's the mitzvah, it's the effort that you put in as part of the mitzvah as well. Let's say a person takes an hour to try to figure out a Tosfos, and at the end of the hour, he understands absolutely nothing from the Tosfos. Said Rav Soloveitchik, he still gets a mitzvah of Talmud Torah for the whole hour. Because part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the effort that you expend in learning. That's part of the mitzvah. So if you're walking to go learn, it's part of the mitzvah itself. It's not just a heksher mitzvah. He says, Bishlam, according to the Ran, you could say, if it's just a heksher mitzvah, you're involved in it, so you'd be exempt. But according to Tosfos, it's only the actual performance. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that walking to redeem captives, and walking to visit your Rebbe, and walking to go listen to a shir, all of those are not just the heksher, it's not just the preparation, it's the actual mitzvah itself. Because when it comes to learning Torah, you get reward just even for the effort. That's why Rav Soloveitchik said, that's why there's two berachas haTorah. One of them is lasok b'direi Torah, that's on the involvement. And asher baruch habanu, that's on the knowledge of Torah. That's point number one. Why are you exempt from sukkah if you're going to visit your Rebbe? I thought visiting your Rebbe is only a mitzvah d'rabanan. It's learned out from a pasuk in the Navi that The Shunami woman, she asked Elio Anavi, or Elisha, she asked Elisha for a son. Elisha gave her a kid, then the kid died, and she ran to go visit Elisha. So her husband said, what are you running to go visit Elisha? It's not a yontif today. Oh, says the Gemara, well, it's not a yontif today. What do you see from that? That you're supposed to go visit your Rebbe on yontif. There's halacha like that. But that's only a mitzvah derabbanan, no? How could you say that if you're on your way to go do a Darabanan, you're exempt from the mitzvah of Sukkah, which is a mitzvah Doraisa? If you're involved in a Darabanan, are you exempt from a Doraisa? So there are a number of answers to this. Maybe because it's learned that from a Pasuk and Navi, it's more serious than a regular Darabanan. Some of that was Navi. Others say it's a key of mitzvah Doraisa of Es Hashem al Kechatira. We just had it in last week's parasha. Es Hashem al Kechatira. There's a mitzvah Doraisa to show honor to a rabbi, to a Torah scholar. So even though the visiting your Rebbe on Yontif is a mitzvah Darabanan, but once you visit him, you get a kiyum Doraisa of showing respect for a Torah scholar. Es Hashem al Kechatira. That's what some of the Achronim say. The Aruch Haner says like that. Okay, let's continue a little bit over here. I'm going to have to hold myself back because this is I'm holding a little bit in this sugya. Here we go. So shluchim mitzvah pedura. So chol anu m'sham shem b'turim minasukah. A sick person or the doctor who's taking care of a sick person is also exempt from the sukkah. Why is a sick person exempt from the sukkah? We're going to see three shittas in Rishonim. Either teishvu kein taduru, even if you'd be sick, you wouldn't necessarily be at home. You'd go to the hospital or you'd go somewhere else. Or mitzdayer is patur min asukkah, and when you're sick, you're even more mitzdayer in the sukkah. Or maybe it's osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. If somebody is taking care of you, the misham shem, you're involved in a mitzvah, so maybe you're going to be exempt. We'll see in the Gemara. Ochlin v'shosin arai chutz l'sukkah. You're allowed to have a snack outside the sukkah, up to a kibetza. You're allowed to have a kibetza of bread outside the sukkah. You're allowed to have fruit outside the sukkah. Even bread, if it's less than a kibetza, you're allowed to make, or then, strictly speaking, you're allowed to have it outside the sukkah. It's considered to be a snack. It's not a su'uda. Says the Gemara, from what do we know these words in the Torah, but we learned in a b'raisa. The Torah says you're only obligated to read Shema when you're sitting at home in your house doing nothing. But if you're involved in a mitzvah, you're exempt. When you're walking along the way, comes to exclude a chasan. Why do you need two psukim, says Rashi? One of them is when you're actually doing a mitzvah. Chasan is when you're thinking about a mitzvah. You're just thinking about a mitzvah, that exempts you as well. Here we learn, if you are marrying a woman who's never been married before, she's a basula, then you are exempt, because then you're worried. But if you're, why are you worried? Because maybe she's not a basula, or she's never had relations before, you're worried about the mitzvah. What mitzvah are you worried about? Either the mitzvah of marriage, according to the Rama, marriage is a mitzvah. According to the Rush, marriage is not a mitzvah, but it's a hechsher mitzvah of Pru Urvu. So Mustafa, we're talking about the mitzvah of Pru Urvu. Hey, Goldie D, Zadie's giving a shiur. Hi, Goldie. Zadie's giving a shiur. I don't get to see my grandchildren. They live in Eretz Yisrael. I never get to see them. So that's the mitzvah. So HaKonis HaBesula Pater. If you're marrying a woman who's never been married before, you're exempt because you're nervous. As HaMana Chayev. But if you're marrying an Amana, that's also a mitzvah, but you're not nervous. She's been married already, and you're not nervous that she's not a basula, because you know she's not a basula. My mashma, where do you see this in the pasuk? I'm Rav Huna, kiderech. It's like derech. B'shivtecha b'veisecha, v'latecha b'derech. Ma derech rishus, af kol rishus, lafukhaid mitzvah asuk. So only when you're involved in an optional activity, you have to say Shema. But if you're involved in a mitzvah, you're exempt from Shema. Says the Gemara, how do you know derech means you're walking to a rishus? Milo askin tekazel dvar mitzvah, kam rachman likri. Maybe derech means you're on your way to do a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, mkein lemekra b'sheves uvaleches. If that's what the Torah meant, it should have just said b'sheves uvaleches. My b'shiftecha uvalechtecha. It mashma that you're sitting around doing something that you want to do, not what Hashem wants you to do. You're walking to something you want to do, not what Hashem wants you to do. If you're doing something Hashem wants you to do, then you're exempt from Shema. B'leches didachu d'mechayves. If you're doing something you want to do, you're chayv in Shema. Habalech is the mitzvah patiris. But if you're doing something Hashem wants you to do, you are exempt. And by the way, some want to say from here, even if you're involved in a derabanan, at the end of the day, that's still what Hashem wants you to do. So you're exempt from a doraisa even. Says the Gemara, yachi afilu koneis es almana nami. So wait, if it's all about a mitzvah, so when you're marrying an almana, it's also a mitzvah, you should also be exempt. Says the Gemara, no. Konis a basula tarid, konis almana lo tarid. If you're marrying a basula, you're worried. So it's the worry that's exempting you. But when you're marrying an almana, you're not worried. Says the Gemara, v'chalega de tarid achanami de pater. Anytime you're worried, you're exempt from Shema. Even if you're worried not for a mitzvah, you're also exempt from Shema, even if you're worried not for a mitzvah. Elamayata tava svinaso bayam. If you have a lot of merchandise on a ship, and your ship is drowning at sea, What are you going to tell me? Because you're nervous, you're going to lose a lot of money, you're going to be exempt from reading Shema because of the worry? The Torah Rachanami de Pater. You're worried because your ship is drowning at sea, you think you're exempt from Shema. Says the Gemara, well, maybe, yeah, maybe you're exempt from Shema. V'chitei Machanami, so the Gemara brings a very strange proof that no, you see that when you're worried, not for a mitzvah, you're not exempt. V'chitei Machanami, if you'll tell me that really, if you're worried, not for a mitzvah, you are exempt from Shema. V'hamar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavdam Rav, Ovel Chai B'chal Mitzvah Zamush, B'torah Chutz Menat Filin, Shorei Neman Ben Pe'er. An Ovel is Chai, we had this Gemara in Brachos. This whole Gemara we had in Brachos on Daf Yud. It was 2 years ago, year and a half ago. Says the Gemara, Avel is chayiv in all mitzvahs of the Torah. Now there's nobody more distressed than an Avel. There's nobody more distracted than an Avel. An Avel is chayiv in all the mitzvahs of the Torah except for the tefillin. Sharei naman beheb pe'er. Except for tefillin, because about tefillin, the Navi says it's a pe'er. So it's machlokis. Mastir and Rashi, Rashi and Sukkah versus Rashi and Ksubas and Brachas. Here, Rashi says, take a look at Rashi. V'avel lav bar pe'erhu, k'shem mispar amar ba'atzmo she'inu avel. That if you wear your tefillin, you're showing that you're not caring about your avelus, because tefillin is glory, and an avel should not be in a glorious state. He should be lowly and downtrodden. So it's a violation of his avelus. That's what Rashi says here. Rashi and Ksubas and Brachas says the opposite. It's a violation of the tefillin, because an avel is down in the dumps. An avel is rolling in the dirt. He's lowly and down in the dumps. So it's not respectful for the tefillin to put on the tefillin. Here Rashi says it's a violation of his avelus. There Rashi sounds like it's a violation of the tefillin. But whatever it is, an avel does not wear tefillin, because tefillin are called glory. But you see, an avel does say Shema. An avel is obligated in Shema. Why? Because the tsar and the pain of an avelus, that's what it sounds like from the Gemara. We'll talk about this in a minute. But the tsar of the avelus is not a mitzvah. So you see, that's why an avel's chayiv in Shema. We'll get to the question in a second. So Peledik Gemara. Anyway, but the Gemara says, you see from avelus that when you're in pain, not for a mitzvah, that sounds like from the Gemara, that for an avel to sit on a low bench and to not take a haircut and to not learn Torah, all those things that I was obligated to do. So that's the obligations of an avelus. But to be upset, that's not part of the mitzvah of avelus. It's just, that's like your ship drowning at sea. So you see an avel's chayv in Shema, so your ship drowning at sea, you're also chayv in Shema. So what do you tell me, that if you're distracted, you're exempt from Shema? Says the Gemara, you're right. No, says the Gemara, hacha taratir de mitzvah, hasam taratir de rishos. The Gemara says, you need two things. It's got to be distraction, and it's got to be distraction for a mitzvah. If you're doing a mitzvah with no distraction, like marrying an almana, you're chayiv in Shema. And if you're distracted and there's no mitzvah, like your ship drowning at sea, or like avelus, you're also chayiv in Shema. You're only exempt if you have two things, distraction and a mitzvah. So if you're marrying a basula, you're distracted because of the bia, and it's a mitzvah because she's a basula. You have two things, and therefore you are exempt from Shema if you're distracted and you have a mitzvah. Now, let's hit the pause button and reverse. Let's talk a little bit about what we said over here. First of all, the Ritva has a great question about the whole sugya of Osik mitzvah, patan mitzvah. Wait a second. If you're involved in one mitzvah, you're exempt from the other one. Why don't I need a pasuk to tell me that? I mean, women can do two things at the same time, but men cannot do two things at the same time. We can't do two things at the same time. What do I need a pasuk to tell me that if I'm involved in one mitzvah, you don't do the other one? I can't do it. You can't do two things at the same time. Forget the pasuk. You're doing one thing. How are you doing the other thing at the same time? So Bishlam, according to the Ran, I understand. He says even if it's possible to do both, nevertheless, you're exempt. Okay, that makes sense. But according to Tosfos, you're only exempt if you can't do both. If you can do both, you're not exempt. So the whole pasuk is just coming to exempt you when you can't do both anyway. So what do we need a pasuk for? You can't do both of them. So the Ritva asks this kasha. The whole sugya makes no sense. So the Ritva gives two beautiful answers. The first one is, yeah, it's clear that you're not obligated, but the chiddush of osik mitzvah is that you're not allowed to leave one mitzvah to do the other one. That's the chiddush. The chiddush of the Torah is, if I'm involved in one mitzvah, it's a bizayon to that mitzvah to leave that mitzvah and do the other one. You're not allowed to. If you're involved in one, you're not allowed to leave it to go to the other one. That's the chiddush. Of course you can't do both at the same time. That's for sure. But it's not only is it an exemption, for that I don't need an exemption. I'm already doing one. I can't do the other one. The chiddush is, I'm not allowed to leave one to do the other. That's the first answer. Then, the second chiddush is, you are allowed to begin one lighter mitzvah, let's say burying a parent, even though you know that's going to make you not able to do the mitzvah of bringing the Karban Pesach, which is a mitzvah sasayish bol karis, which is much more severe. The chiddush of osek mitzvah patar mitzvah is, since right now I'm not yet obligated in the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, I'm allowed to be metame myself 2 days before Pesach, even though I know that that's going to not allow me to bring Karban Pesach, which is a mitzvah sasayish bol karis, which is much more severe than the mitzvah sasay of burying a parent. I'm allowed to tell the parents levaya. So, because then I'll be in a position of osik mitzvah patur mina mitzvah. That's what you need the pasuk for. Beautiful comment of the Ritva. Now, let's talk a little bit about avelos here. So, what did the Gemara say? What did the Gemara say? The Gemara said an avel is exempt from tefillin. Why? Because tefillin is called glory. Because Hashem told Yecheskel, Pe'ercha Chavush Alecha. Hashem told Yecheskel. Maybe we'll wait till we get up to that in the Gemara. Fine. Let's continue. Asks the Gemara. The Ha'osek B'mitzah Patur Mina Mitzah Me'hacha Nafka. Do we really learn out Osek B'mitzah Patur Mina Mitzah from these psukim of Kriya Shema? Mehasam Nafka, we learned it out from somewhere else. The Sani we learned in a Braisev. There were some people, Pesach Sheni, that were tummy in the midbar, they couldn't do Pesach Rishon. They came to Moshe and said, why should we be left out? Osam Anashim Mihayu, who were these people? No se Arono Shel Yosef Hayu. First, the Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. They were the people carrying the bones of Yosef. That's one opinion. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishal Vel Safan Aisha Oskim Binadav Aviyu. It was Aaron's first cousins, Misha and El Safan, who were dealing with the burial of Nadav and Avihu. Asks Tosfos, weren't the bodies of Nadav and Avihu burnt? So what kind of tumah was there? Says Tosfos, but apparently the outer skin, the skeleton of Nadav and Avihu was still around, even though they got burnt to a crisp, but the skeleton was still there, so therefore they're tumah because it's called Tap Tosfos. That's the second opinion, was Misha and El Safan who were carrying the bones of Nadav and Avihu. Rabbi Yitzhak Omer, Ibn Osei, Onash Yosef, Hayu. What do you mean? They could have put. They were sitting around Har Sinai. They were 7 days before Pesach. They could have been mitayer. When was Nadav and Avihu killed? They were killed on the first day of Nisan. You had 14 days till Pesach. You had plenty of time to purify yourself. Ella oskim b'meis mitzvah hayushchashvi shalohen lios b'erev Pesach. No, there were any old people, any stam people who were dealing with burying. It says meis mitzvah. It doesn't really mean meis mitzvah. It means any parent, your parent died, so your parent died 3 days before Pesach, so you had to go deal with it. Actually, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, your parent died 7 days before Pesach. The seventh day of the Tumah fell on Erev Pesach. It was the seventh day. Wait, so if the seventh day fell out on Erev Pesach, so by the night you're going to be Tahar. Oh, so say the Rishonim over here, says Rashi. Rashi says we're going according to the Shita that holds Shochten v'zorken al Tmei Sheretz. That if you're Tmei Sheretz, they're not allowed to shech the Karban Pesach for you, even though that night you're going to be allowed to eat it, but during the day you're Tmei, so you can't be part of the Chabur, even though that night you're going to be able to eat it. And why did these other people say, hey, we should be included? Because they held Shochten v'zorken al Tmei Sheretz. So that's why they said that that we should be allowed. Oh. So the Gemara says we could learn out Osek Mitzvah Patur Mina Mitzvah from here. We see from here, these people, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, that 7 days before they were allowed to go to the Levaya, even though they knew they weren't going to be able to bring Karban Pesach, because Osim Yitzchak Patan HaMitzvah. So what do I need to Pesachim by Shema for Osim Yitzchak Patan HaMitzvah? Why can't you learn it out from here, that these people were exempt? Answers the Gemara, Goldie D is coming to Zaydi's Shear. Answer the Gemara, Tzricha, we need, Goldie. Tzricha, we need both drushes. Diash min hasam, if we only had the pasuk of Toma Mishum Dilo Matazman Chivu the Pesach. Why was these people allowed to go to their parents' Levaya 7 days before Pesach? Because the Chiyuv to bring Korban Pesach hadn't yet begun at that time. So at that time, they're only Chayv in the midst of the Levaya. So that's why we would say Osik Mata Patam Nesa over there. Aval Hacha, but by the Chosan who's exempt from Shema, the Mata Zman Kriya Shema, that the wedding and the Shema happen at the same time, Emalo, you might think you're not exempt. Tzricha. V'yashmin and Hacha, if you only had the case of Kriya Shema Mishum Deleka Kares. Maybe the reason why you're exempt from Shema is because there's no karis if you don't say Shema Aval Hasam. But attending a parent's levaya 7 days before Pesach, that's going to get you out of an iser karis of not bringing Karban Pesach. Deka karis emalo tzricha. So that's why we need both drushas. Says the Gemara Gufa. Let's go back to what we were talking about before. What was that? Gufa. Amar Rabbi Abba Barzav to Amar Rav. Rabbi Abba Barzav to Sinan Rav. Ovel chai b'chol mitzvah mus b'torah. An ovel is chai in all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Chutz. Oh, so ovel is chai in all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Chutz mit tefillin. Sharinem ben pe'er. An ovel is chai in all the mitzvahs of the Torah except for tefillin. That says pe'er. Asks the Arach Laner, what do you mean an ovel is chai in every mitzvah of the Torah? Isn't an ovel not allowed to learn Torah? So what do you mean he's chayv in every mitzvah except for tefillin? Not chayv in every mitzvah. So Rashi and Moed Katan says, what are you talking about? It's not what the Gemara means. It means any mitzvah that's not a mitzvah of simcha. Learning Torah is a mitzvah that has simcha. Obviously, an ovel is exempt from learning Torah. It means every single mitzvah aside from a mitzvah that has simcha. That's one answer. The Ritva gives two answers. Either an ovel is chayv in Talmud Torah, but he's just yotzi with Kriya Shema Shachar Sva'arvis. He's yotzi is chiyuv of Talmud Torah by saying Shema in the morning and night. Or an Ovel is allowed to learn those portions of the Torah that have to do with Avelos. So he's also Chayv in Talmud Torah. He's allowed to learn only the sad parts of Torah. Okay, but anyway, an Ovel is Chayv in all mitzvot of Torah except for Tefillin, Sharinem, and Ben Be'er, because about Tefillin, the Torah says Pe'er. Says the Gemara, Midu'omer le'rachmona li'yecheskel. How do we know an Ovel is exempt from Tefillin? From the fact that Hashem said to Yecheskel, Pe'er cha chavush alecha, your wife is going to die, and you should wear your tefillin. Atu demachayvus, you're chayv to wear tefillin, avol kulei amo petire. But everybody else is exempt from tefillin. Now, says Gemara, v'hani mili biyom rishon, and avos only exempt from tefillin on the first day, which is both the Yom HaMisa and the Yom HaKvura, says the Ritva. However, all the other days, d'chsev achris kiyomar, that Klal Yisrael is going to be bitter, the Navi says, like the first day of Avelus, but that's the time that an Avel is exempt. But the rest of the days of Avelus and Avel is chayv in tefillin. So this Gemara makes no sense on its face. We just said a few lines ago, if I asked you, why is an Avel exempt from tefillin? We said because tefillin is called pe'er, and either it's not nice for an Avel to wear pe'er, or it's not nice for the tefillin for an Avel to be wearing it. But here it's saying a different reason. That the reason why an Avel isn't exempt is because Hashem told Yecheskel, your wife is going to die and I want you, yes, to wear tefillin. We see from that everybody else who's an Avelus is not supposed to wear tefillin. So which is it? Is it because of Pe'er or is it because of Yecheskel? Tosfos asks this kasha. Says Tosfos, really the source is Yecheskel. But you might have made a Kal v'chomer and said, if Hashem told Yecheskel not to wear tefillin, which is such an important... If an Avel is not allowed to wear tefillin, which is such a important mitzvah, you would think Kal v'chomer and Avel is exempt from every other mitzvah. So that's why we have to say no. It's only because the tefillin is glory. So the Gemara says tefillin is called glory, so an Avel shouldn't be wearing tefillin. So that's why Hashem told Yecheskel, wear your tefillin, but everybody else and Avel should not wear tefillin. Only the mitzvah of tefillin and Avel is exempt in, but all the other mitzvahs and Avel is not exempt in. That's the answer to that question. But then we have a different problem. So what does the Gemara say here? Why? How do I know an Avel is not allowed to wear tefillin? Because God told Yecheskel, yes to wear tefillin. So you, Yecheskel, you're going to be an Avelis. I want you yes to wear tefillin. Everybody else doesn't wear tefillin. But wait a second. God also told Yecheskel, don't learn Torah when you're in Avelis. Hey, Anek, don't mason. Don't learn Torah. So wait a second. But we do like Yecheskel. Just like Yecheskel was not allowed to learn Torah, we also don't learn Torah. Asks Tosfos. You could see it in Tosfos. It's the bottom Tosfos on Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. If you turn back for a second to the bottom, Tosfos Sharei Nemar Ben Pe'er. Look about 8 lines from the bottom. Vim Tomar. 7 lines from the bottom. Umay Shnal Gabi Tefillin. That means Dafki L'Chesk Kamen Leiv Olo L'Shar Ve'ilim. V'Gabi Talmud Torah. Mina Perakam Demoy Katan Ovel Asim B'Talmud Torah. Mida Amalei Rachman L'Chesk L'Enek Do Hei Anek Dom. Davde Shar Ve'ilim Ki Yecheskel. Tosfos asks a Pelet D'Kakasha. A Mayri D'Kakasha. It's not fair. We're saying God told Yecheskel, you wear tefillin. That shows that all Avelim should not wear tefillin. We do the opposite. And when God told Yecheskel, don't learn Torah, so we also don't learn Torah like God told Yecheskel. Make up your mind. Do we do like Yecheskel or do we do against Yecheskel? When it comes to tefillin, we do the opposite of Yecheskel. When it comes to Torah, we do like Yecheskel. Makes no sense. Oh, so Tosfos gives a brilliant answer. A brilliant answer. Very, very simple distinction. I'm going to offer you 4 answers to this, Kasha, but Tosfos gives a brilliant, brilliant answer. What's Tosfos' answer? Listen to this. Tosfos says, what did God tell Yecheskel? You should wear tefillin. Why is God telling him to wear tefillin? Everybody wears tefillin. Everybody wears tefillin. Why is he telling him to wear tefillin? Must be that a regular Avel doesn't wear tefillin. That's why you had to tell Yecheskel to wear tefillin, because a regular Avel doesn't. But what did he tell him by Torah? He told him, don't learn Torah. Wait a minute. Everybody else, yes, learns Torah. Why is God telling him not to learn Torah? Must be, as far as learning Torah is concerned, we're the same as Yecheskel. Just like Yecheskel, where you're in Avelis, don't learn Torah, so to everybody else should learn Torah. But why is God telling Yecheskel to wear tefillin? Everybody wears tefillin. Must be that a regular Avel does not wear tefillin. Oh, what a gevaldic answer. So when it comes to tefillin, Hashem told Yecheskel to do not like everybody else. Must be that a regular Avel doesn't wear tefillin. But when it came to learning Torah, he told him to do against everybody else. Must be that we should be like Yecheskel, and when we're in Avelis, also we don't learn Torah. That's one answer. That's one answer. In the Sefer Matzah Chen, he gives another beautiful answer. It depends on the chronology of the Psukim. What does God tell Yecheskel? He says, Hey, Anek, don't mesim. Don't learn Torah. Then he says, Evel mesim lo sasa, don't be an Avel. Perecha chavush alecha, wear tefillin. So before he told him not to be like an Avel, he told him to not learn Torah. So not learning Torah, I want you to be yes like an Avel. Don't learn Torah. Then, don't be an Avel, wear tefillin. So you see, he told him not to learn Torah before he told him not to be an Avel. Then he said, don't be like an Avel, wear your tefillin. So since the learning Torah came before don't be an Avel, and the wearing tefillin came after don't be an Avel in the Pasuk, so that's why when it comes to Torah, we do like Yecheskel. When it comes to tefillin, we do against Yecheskel. That's the second answer. The third answer, in the Sefer Matzah Chen, he says, Pe'ercha chavush alecha. Pe'ercha. Your tefillin should be on you, but everybody else, no. But when it comes to learning Torah, it says, Hey, Anik, don't mason, don't learn Torah. It doesn't say you. It says, everybody not learn Torah. So therefore, I went. There's a fourth answer. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz gives a fourth answer. He says, no, God was actually telling Yecheskel not to learn, yes to learn Torah. Because you read the pasuk like this, Hey, Anik, don't mason, Evel, Evel, Evel mesim lo saseh. Don't be like an Avel. I want you, yes, to learn Torah. That's the way to read it. You, yes, learn Torah. All other Avelim don't learn Torah. You, yes, put on tefillin. Everybody else don't put on tefillin. So even by the Torah, the way he, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, reads it, it goes into the next part of the Pasuk. Don't be like an Avel and not learn Torah. Rather, I want you, yes, to learn Torah. Okay, let's continue. Now, the last problem here is that what I mentioned before. What do you mean that an Avel, the sadness of an Avel is an optional sadness? Read the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Hay of Avelos tells you the 11 things that Avel's not allowed to do. You're not allowed to sit on a hard chair. You're not allowed to take a bath. You're not allowed to take a haircut. You're not allowed to learn Torah. 11 things. You're not allowed to go to business. You're not allowed to go to work. You're not allowed to say Shalom Aleichem. 11 things. And in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, what does the Rambam write? Mitzvahs asei lehisabel ala krovim. What do you mean? In Perek Hay, the Rambam tells you 11 things you're not allowed to do. So what's in mitzvah saseh? There's 11 lo saseh's of an avil. What's the mitzvah saseh? So if Soloveitchik said, the mitzvah saseh is, all those 11 things are to get you to feel the pain and the loss of the avilos, to feel the tzar. There's a mitzvah saseh to feel the tzar. So what's the Gemara talking about? The Gemara says that the tirda of an avil is a tirda de rishus. It's an optional tzar. What do you mean an optional tzar? It's a mandate. It's an obligatory tzar. The whole mitzvah is to feel the pain. Peltik Gemara. Whatever answer I'm going to give you is not going to answer this question. But Rav Soloveitchik suggested the following answer. Well, maybe, so an avel is supposed to feel the pain, but he's supposed to feel only a little bit of pain. The Gemara says in Moed Katan, Rav Shechter always says this pshat. The Gemara says in Moed Katan, 3 days an avel cries. Gimel yamim lebechi. That's why in the old days it used to be that you're not supposed to pay a shiva call in the first 3 days because the person's distraught. So, but nowadays we pay shiva calls from the first second. We pay shiva calls. But gimel yamim lebechi, that really, really when someone dies, you shouldn't be upset at all. This was Hashem's will. Again, we know obviously you're going to feel the pain of loss of the person, but you have to accept the gzar din of Hashem. So we give you 3 days. Rav Shechter says, 3 days, you're allowed to cry. It's not a violation of kfiro. What are you crying? What, do you think Hashem didn't do well by you? You're not happy with the time that you had the person? So, said Rav Soloveitchik, maybe saying Shema, you know why an Avel is chayev to say Shema? Because it's part of Tzidduk Hadin. You have to be able to say, when you're an Avelis, you have to be able to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. We don't exempt you from Shema because you have to find the strength within you to say that I still believe in Hashem, even though you just took my father away from me. You have to still find the strength to say Shema Yisrael. So that's what it means, that an Avel is not, the tirda of an Avel doesn't exempt you from mitzvahs, because you have to do the mitzvahs to show that you're still frum, that you still believe in God. Gimel Yamim Lebechi, you're allowed to cry for 3 days, but you have to accept upon yourself the Gzar Din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you have to say Shema. That pain is not going to exempt you from Shema. That's what the Gemara means. That the tirda of an avel is a tirda de rishus, meaning that you're not supposed to, you're supposed to be upset that you're missing the person, but you're not supposed to be so upset that you can't say Shema. That upset is already rishus. Maybe it's not even rishus, it's an iser. You're not allowed to be so upset that you can't say Shema. You have to still say Shema. It's part of Tzidduk HaDin. You have to say Baruch Dayan Emes. When somebody dies, you got to make a bracha. You hear this? When someone dies, you got to make a bracha. Blessed are you, Hashem. You did the right thing. Dayan Emes. I accept your judgment. It's a lot easier said than done, and it doesn't happen right away. It takes time till it happens. But a person has to come to the place where he trusts and believes that what Hashem did is the right thing. Okay, let's continue. An avel is obligated in a sukkah. Pshita! It's chayav in all the mitzvahs. Ma'od, the same hall of Omar Rava. Mitzdar apartim in a sukkah. Hainami mitzdar. Who you think a guy's in avelus? So let the guy at least sit in the comfort of his house. And you make him go out to a sukkah, it's going to be more, even more mitzdair. Kamash malah, nahani mili tzar de memela. That's only tzar that happens because of the sukkah. Aval hacha ihu de kamitzar nafshe, and avel is bringing the pain on himself. Iboile li yisuve daite. So you might have thought he's exempt because he's mitzdair. The answer is no. Again, the Gemara stresses this again, that the pain of avelus, that's what you bring on yourself. You're supposed to steady yourself and get yourself okay so that you're able to go sit in the sukkah. Let's continue. I'm Rabbi Abba, Rezav, I'm Rab. Chasan v'hashushbinan v'chol b'nei achuppa p'tur min ha-sukkah kol shiva. The chasan and the helpers of the wedding, the best man, the bridesmaids, v'chol b'nei achuppa, everybody who's helping out with the wedding, are exempt from sukkah all 7 days. My time shem deboi l'mechtei. They have a mitzvah of Simchas Chasan Vikala, and they're exempted from the sukkah. Three shitas why they're exempt. The Ra'ah says, Teshvu Kein Taduru, just like you always make a simcha in a wedding hall, not in the house, so too you're allowed to make the simcha in the wedding hall, you're not chayiv in the sukkah. Teshvu Kein Taduru. You only sit in the sukkah the way you live in the house. The Ran and the Meiri say, Osek B'mitzvah Patim in HaMitzvah. The Ran says another pshat that it's because of mitzdayer. If you're not going to be able to rejoice at the chasan ka on the wedding hall, you're going to have to go to the sukkah. It's going to be a gedder of mitzdayer. Three shittas. Says the Gemara, why is it a contradiction? V'lechli b'sukkah, v'lechli b'sukkah. Why don't you eat in the sukkah and have the wedding in the sukkah? Says the Gemara, Ein simcha ela b'chuppah. No, you're not going to be able to rejoice in the sukkah because you got to rejoice where the wedding was. Says, well, okay, v'lechlu b'sukkah v'lechlu b'chuppah. Why don't you eat in the sukkah and rejoice in the wedding hall? No, ein simcha ela b'makom suda. The rejoicing is only where you're eating. Says the Gemara, v'lev de'chuppah b'sukkah. So why don't you just make the whole chasna in the sukkah? So the Gemara gives two reasons why you can't make a chasna in the sukkah. Amar Abaye Mishum Yichud. Now, when we say make a chasna, in those days, it was all 7 days. You would live in the wedding hall for all 7 days. So you would be there the whole week. So says the Gemara, why don't you just make the wedding in the sukkah for all 7 days? Two reasons. Amar Abaye Amar Mishum Yichud. We're afraid, maybe they used to make the sukkahs on the roof. The chasna is going to go to the bathroom. The woman's going to be alone in the sukkah. And somebody else is going to hop up and have yichud with the kala. V'rava Amar Mishum Tzar Chasan. It's not private. If you have the wedding in the sukkah, it's only closed on three sides. So the chas is not going to be able to be intimate with his wife because it's going to be open on one side. People are going to be looking into his sukkah. My benai, what's the difference between these two reasons? Ikka benai, the difference is, if there are a lot of people around, if you're worried about yichud, it's not a problem. There's a lot of people around. If it's a problem that the chas is not going to have privacy with his wife, that problem exists even if there's more people around. Amar Rabbi Zeira, it sounds like Rabbi Zeira disagrees with Rav Ada Bar Abba. We said before that Rav Abba Bar Zavda said, Chasan and all the people of the wedding are exempt from the sukkah all 7 days. Rabbi Zeira said, no. When I was a Chasan, ana achle b'sukkah v'chadi b'chuppah. I ate in the sukkah and I made my wedding outside the sukkah. The kolshkin d'chadi libay, and I was even more b'simcha, to call avid notarti, because I got two mitzvahs. I got married, and I sat in the sukkah. So we said before, Rav Abba Bar Zavda said a chasan is exempt because you're not going to be able to have joy outside the sukkah. You have to, the joy is only where you eat. Rav Zera said, no, I ate in the sukkah, and I had the wedding in the wedding hall, and I lived 7 days outside in the chuppah house. And I ate in the sukkah, and I was even more happy. Ah, you tell me you're only happy if you have the wedding and where you're eating? No. I was more happy because I got two mitzvahs. I got married, and I was able to eat in the sukkah. So there is a question, halacha lemaisa, how are we passing here? So the Rush writes that Rebbe Zeira disagrees with Rebbe Rabbi Zavda. And he holds, a chasan is not exempt. And the Rush actually passes like Rav Ada Bar Zavda. I'm sorry, the Rush actually paskins like Rav Zeira, that really a chasan is not exempt. However, the Meiri writes, even Rav Zeira admits that Meikra din a chasan is exempt from the sukkah, just he was being machmir on himself. And that's also the sack of the riff in the Rambam, that a chasan is really exempt from sukkah, just Rav Zeira was being machmir on himself. Okay, gentlemen, we are going to stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 7:20. Have a great day.